Good day, and welcome to the Orado Group Full Year 2015 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Andreas Galdo. Please go ahead, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marhaban bikum fi hadhihi al-mukallama. Hello, and welcome to Ooredoo's Financial Results Call. My name is Andreas Galdo, and on behalf of the investor relations team, I thank you for joining this session. As part of today's discussion, I'm pleased to introduce Walid Al-Fayed, Deputy CEO of Ooredoo Group. Walid has more than 25 years experience with Ooredoo, a strong track record in Qatar, where he worked as Chief Operating Officer and currently as CEO. He also has international experience via various board positions, for example, in Tunisia and Algeria. He has an MBA from HSBC in Paris, and investors and analysts know Walid from previous calls and of course from our last Capital Markets Day in Doha. Furthermore, we are joined by RJ Bakrie, our CFO, and Hans-Peter Kadra, who both have joined previous sessions. We will start with an overview of the group results and strategy, followed by a Q&A session. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com. Before we begin, a few necessary disclaimer points if you refer to slide number two. In the course of today's discussion, we may make some forward-looking statements. These will be based on the information available to us as of today, and so you should not assume that in future we will continue to hold these views. As such, we do not commit to notify you if our views change. We therefore refer you to our public filings for some factors that may cause forward-looking statements to differ from actual future events or results. To begin, I now hand over to Walid.
Thank you, Andreas, and thank you to everyone who has joined the call today. It is my pleasure to be speaking to you today. Your support of Ooredoo, as we have grown from a domestic operator to a global business spanning the Middle East, North Africa, and Southeast Asia, has been crucial. We understand that there needs to be a conversation between a company and its investors and analysts, which is why I am pleased to join this call today, and I look forward to speaking to you regularly in the future. Turning to our results on slide four, we delivered a good performance in 2015 in what has been a challenging year for some of our markets. Our key financial metrics are solid with some encouraging trends. The growth of our customer base to 117 million, up 9% on the 2014, or almost 10 million customers, is evidence of our progress of our strategy, the quality of our network, and the strength of our brand. This growth was driven by strong performance of Qatar and Indonesia, where we increased customer number by double digits. We also saw a robust increase in our customer base in Oman, Algeria, and Myanmar. We delivered 32 billion in revenue, in line with our 2015 guidance, and EBITDA of 13 billion, which exceeded guidance for the year. While our performance was impacted by the ongoing security situation in Iraq and the impact of FX devaluations in some of our markets, we overall delivered a solid result. If we turn to slide five now, I want to give you a brief update on our strategic investment in our network and brand, how we are progressing on being a data leader, and how we are accelerating growth in the B2B market. I will also briefly touch on the evolution of our strategy, which Hans will speak about in more detail later in the presentation. In terms of network investments, we now have 4G+ in Qatar and Kuwait, 4G in Indonesia, Oman, and Maldives, with Algeria and Tunisia currently preparing to launch their 4G network and services. Iraq and Myanmar have 3G, and Palestine has plans to offer 3G in 2016. We continue to optimize our footprint in 2015 with strategic investment in technology and our brand. Eight markets are now fully Ooredoo branded, following the successful rebrand of Indonesia, Indosat, to Indosat Ooredoo in November last year. Over the last couple of years, we have been investing in our network to increase the speed, reliability, and accessibility across our market. The group data revenue have now represent 37% of the group revenue at Qatar Riyal 12 billion, up from 25% in 2014. Data revenue was up 40% compared with the 2014, and we have seen growth in revenue from data across all of our markets. In Oman and Qatar, data already accounts for almost half of the total revenue. Our focus as a partner of choice in the business market is also delivering results with a 10% year-on-year increase in B2B revenue in 2015. We estimate that there are around 9 million businesses in our core markets, which gives you an idea on the growth opportunity for this segment across our footprint, and our experienced Ooredoo business team is working hard to offer innovative services for this important market. With a global platform of branded communication services, Ooredoo's focus in the short to medium term remains on creating efficiencies from its operations. We have achieved significant saving from strategic sourcing with further efforts underway in this regard, and we have also progressed our strategy to share infrastructure to deliver cost efficiencies in our key markets. We will continue to align our markets around creating competitive and sustainable operations while maximizing shareholders' value. Ajay is now going to go through the full year 2015 financial results in more detail. I look forward to our capital market day on 23rd of May in Doha, where I hope to meet more of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Waleed, and thanks to everyone for joining today's call. If you turn to slide number 6, we achieved decent revenue in line with guidance, and EBITDA even exceeded our expectations for the year. In local currency terms, we achieved growth in group revenue to 32.2 billion riyals, driven by our performance in key markets, which, as Waleed mentioned, was impacted by currency movements in Indonesia, Algeria, and Tunisia, as well as the security situation in Iraq. Excluding FX impact, group revenue was up 4% year-on-year, compared with the 3% decline reported. EBITDA was up 1%, and our EBITDA margin reached 40%, demonstrating the investments we made during 2015 to enhance our network and operational efficiency. If you look at EBITDA growth excluding foreign exchange impact, we achieved an 8% year-on-year increase, demonstrating the strength of our underlying operational performance. Slide 7 looks at our net profit and net debt. Net profit attributable to shareholders remains steady at 2.1 billion riyals. However, if we were to take out FX impact, we achieved a 6% increase in group net profit in 2015. Net debt was down 4%, and net debt to EBITDA ratio improved from 2.3 to 2.2, which falls within the Board of Directors' long-term guidance range of 1.5 to 2.5 times EBITDA. This reflects our conscious efforts to have an efficient capital structure in place to continue our growth. Moving on to our cash flows on page 8. Free cash flow was down 16%. However, if we look at the pre-FX, free cash flow was up 1% in line with increased EBITDA and CapEx. CapEx increased 4% in 2015, reflecting our investment to modernize our networks to maintain our competitive position and is in line with the guidance range. Slide 9 gives more detail on our debt breakdown within our markets. Total debt was down slightly to 43.1 billion riyals. Qatar continues to hold the majority of the debt, while other OpCo debt is now mainly in local currencies. Looking more closely at our group debt on slide 10, you can see our flexible and balanced long-term debt profile and our proactive approach to upcoming maturities. Waleed touched on the growth of our customer base. Slide 11 gives you an indication of the steady growth of our customer numbers over the last 4 years. We added almost 10 million customers in 2015 and now have 117 million customers across our markets. We have surpassed 3.5 million customers in Qatar and attracted almost 70 million customers in Indonesia, which represents more than 60% of our subscriber base. Both Algeria and Oman also performed well, with a 7% increase in customer numbers during the period, and our network rollout in Myanmar continued to attract customers. Moving on to the next slide, 2015 performance and guidance for 2016. Here we track financial performance, revenue, EBITDA, and CAPEX versus guidance. We met guidance in terms of revenue and CAPEX, while we exceeded in terms of EBITDA, delivering 1% against guidance of -1% to -4%. As discussed, if we take out the impact of foreign exchange, our performance was significantly above guidance. Our guidance for 2016 is based on exchange rate estimates. We expect currency movements to continue to impact our results in 2016 as the US dollar appreciates against emerging market currencies. Our guidance assumes organic growth in our key markets, a more rational competitive environment, and no further deterioration in the Tunisian economy or security situation in Iraq. With this in mind, we are guiding conservatively to revenue of -1% to a +2%, EBITDA of -3% to 0%, supported by growth in local currency terms across other footprint. We are guiding a moderation in CAPEX with a range of 6.5 to 7.5 billion reals in 2016 as we complete our network modernization plans. Our board is recommending a dividend of 3 reals for 2015, which reflects our desire to balance the need to reward our shareholders whilst also enabling the business to continue to invest in its infrastructure and growth. And it also takes into account the uncertainty in the economic environment in the current times. I'm now going to hand over to Hans to discuss our strategy and how it is evolving.
Thank you, Rajay, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to talk in a moment about the evolution of our strategy, but first, I would just like to highlight some of our key achievements in 2015 as a background. And the five key areas I'd like to touch on, and firstly, brand, which has obviously been one of our major group initiatives. We completed the rebranding of Indosat Ooredoo this year, which brings the total number of Ooredoo-branded operating companies to 8. And we're now gaining significant traction with the brand in all our key markets, and it's delivering meaningful benefits to our operating companies. The second area I'd like to highlight is data and other non-voice services. And as was said previously, group data revenues have demonstrated very robust growth to 40% this year, year on year. Data revenues now represent 37% of the group total, up from 25% last year. And revenue in our very important B2B segment increased by 10%, reflecting our continued focus on B2B services and the enterprise customers. The third area is management, and well, of course, you've been experiencing the new group management today, so I won't say any more on that. The fourth area is efficiency, which is obviously an extremely important focus area for us. We have made significant progress this year from our group purchasing activities, and we're also making progress in the longer-term measures around infrastructure sharing with projects in a number of our major operating companies. And finally, networks. Networks are key to us delivering the right data experience for our customers. And just to summarize, we have 4G Plus, or LTE Advanced, now launched in Qatar and Kuwait and coming in Oman. We have 4G deployed in Indonesia and Maldives, and 4G coming soon in Tunisia and Algeria. And finally, on 2015, we have continued through the year to optimize our footprint with the divestment of non-core assets. So in September of this year, we divested our stake in Y-Tribe Philippines, and we're also currently in the final stages of divesting our stake in Y-Tribe Pakistan. So having set that context for this current year, I'd now like to move on to our strategy evolution, to what we call the LEAD strategy. and the LEAD strategy sets the ambition for the group and our operating companies, allowing a mix of local execution but within a group framework. And that strategy has three key components or pillars. So I start with the first, market leader, which is the left-hand pillar. We want to achieve growth in our markets that is above the market growth. And we intend to do this through leading on network quality, through better distribution, and through having smart services. And if I move to the second pillar, and I move to the right-hand column, efficient business model, which goes with market leadership, we want to be lean, agile, and cost-efficient. That means we're going to maximize our opportunities to be asset-light. That involves infrastructure sharing, outsourcing, and virtualization, along with a number of other projects. And whilst doing this, we're going to extract the synergies that are available to us as a group of operating companies. To achieve this, we're going to rely on the central pillar, which is, of course, the performance culture and the people we have in our business. Here we're focusing on having the very best talent to take our business to the next level, and that means having empowered local teams absolutely focused on business results. So in summary, LEAD and the focus it brings on optimizing our business will ensure that the whole organization is aligned around creating competitive and sustainable operations and maximizing our value creation.
Thank you. Thanks, Hans. Moving on to the operational review now. I will start with our operations in Qatar on slide number 18. We delivered a strong performance in Qatar with double-digit growth in revenue, EBITDA, and net profit, driven by growth in mobile up 11% and fixed-line services up 10%. Original performance in mega projects in Qatar, such as our partnership with the new Doha Airport, provide all telecom services, and an increase in handset sales also contributed to our performance. EBITDA margins improved to 51% with customer numbers up 11% to 3.5 million. Initiatives such as the launch of SuperNet, the most significant network evolution of the company's history, as well as a full network optimization, has delivered world-class speed on fiber and mobile networks and attracted customers, as has the expansion of the 4G Plus services. We also launched onboard Wi-Fi with Qatar Airways and post-period in 2016, Origin TV, the first 4K TV service in the region, giving customers high-definition experience even on large screens. Quarter 3 to quarter 4, revenue was up 6%, driven largely by device sales and large projects. EBITDA margin was declining from 54 to 47% in quarter 4, primarily because of timing difference in terms of certain spend items like advertising and promotions, and also lower margin equipment sales, which I just referred to. Looking now at Indonesia on page 19, we rebranded to Indosat Ooredoo in November 2015, further strengthening our brand appeal across our markets with 8 Ooredoo-branded companies under the group. We performed well in Indonesia in local currency terms, with revenue growing 11%, EBITDA 14%, and EBITDA margin 1%. However, the depreciation of the Indonesian rupiah by 11% impacted our Qatari Riyal results. We continue to increase market share supported by our network modernization with a 10% year-on-year increase in customer numbers to almost 70 million at the end of 2015. Our extension of 3G services and commercialization of 4G put Indosat Ooredoo on track to achieve its strategy of being one of the country's top digital operators. Quarter 3 to quarter 4, the revenue was up 4% in real terms and about 3% in IDR terms. EBITDA margin declined from 49 to 43%, primarily because of the rebranding spend, which I just referred to earlier. Net profit had some positive impact coming from foreign exchange movements as well. Moving on to the next OpCo, Iraq. Asiacell operated in difficult market conditions during 2015 with ongoing security issues impacting our network. We saw an improvement, however, towards the end of the last year with parts of the secret governorate returning to operations. Aggressive pricing by competitors in the first half of the year was alleviated in the second half, which has also helped revenue to recover slightly. Despite these challenges, we remain the market leader in Iraq, and although our customer base was down overall in 2015 compared to 2014, customer numbers have increased by 2% in Q4 compared to Q3. All operators in Iraq implemented a 20% VAT in August following the Iraqi government's activation of sales tax, which negatively impacted revenues. HSL has the highest ARPUs and the strongest network footprint amongst the three operators in Iraq. It will continue to focus on cost efficiencies through 2016 and on increasing data revenue, which grew by double digits in 2015. Quarter-on-quarter, revenue was down 7% as the full impact of the VAT was felt in quarter four. Also, seasonally, Q4 is slightly down because the Eids are in quarter three. The economic scenario and slowdown in Iraq is also impacting the revenues as payment of salaries to some government employees are delayed by months. Margin was stable at about 45% compared to last quarter. If you look at slide number 21 and our performance in Oman, we delivered good growth across all metrics with a healthy increase in customer numbers, including a 23% increase in fixed-line customers. 2015 represents strong growth in terms of revenue in Oman, contributing to 11% increase across the year and 17% on EBITDA. Ooredoo Oman completed its national fiber backbone during 2015 and also expanded its 4G footprint, which will continue to be a factor in its growth as customers enjoy a superior experience. Ooredoo Oman was integrated into the government's broadband strategy with plans to provide e-government services, which will grow FTTH services. Q3 to Q4 revenue was stable, and the margin slightly declined from 53 to 49% as a result of certain year-end provisions and timing differences on some spend as well. In addition, as the network rollout continues, more sites were added to the network, increasing some maintenance cost. Turning to slide 22 and Kuwait. The positive performance we have seen over the last few quarters in Kuwait continued with significant increase in revenue and EBITDA, delivering a 12% and 38% increase in revenue and EBITDA. While our customer numbers decreased, this was partly due to a proactive cleanup of our customer base to deliver more sustainable revenue in the future. In line with the group's strategy, Ooredoo Kuwait's revenue from B2B increased by double digits, and it achieved its target of mobile revenue for 2015, providing evidence of its recovery strategy. Ooredoo Kuwait became the first operator to launch 4G Plus in the country, and now has the largest retail network of any operator in Kuwait. Quarter 3 to quarter 4 revenue was up 2.7% in local currencies. Margins were up from 28 to 35%, but there were many one-off recoveries and provision reversals which impacted the margins, including recovery of debts and certain timing of promotions which didn't take place in quarter 4. The sustainable margin is more close to the previous quarters. Looking now at Algeria on page 23, we maintained our position as market leader in 3G and data services in 2015, contributing to our strong performance in local currency terms, 8% growth in revenue, 26% growth in EBITDA. The Algerian dinar depreciated by 19%, impacting our results in Qatari riyals. Customer numbers increased by 7% as we expanded our 3G coverage with another four districts in 2015. Our proactive cost management initiative eliminated currency risk on debt by raising capital in local currency loans to repay all loans in foreign currency during 2015. Quarter 3 to quarter 4, there was a revenue decline in local currency, primarily because of a slowdown of the economy and lower sale of equipment. Margins were similarly impacted moving from 41% to 33%. This was partly impacted by declining revenue and also timing of certain expense like advertising and some year-end provisions. A sustainable margin is more towards the 35%, 36% as we've seen in some previous quarters. Excuse me. On to slide number 24. Tunisia's performance was impacted by challenging economic and security environment and tough competition. Its focus on expanding its 3G coverage was recognized by the regulator as it voted Ooredoo the best operator in Greater Tunisia for its 3G mobile technology. Ooredoo Tunisia has successfully differentiated itself from its competitors in terms of mobile data, becoming the first operator in the country to test 4G technology. Customer numbers stayed steady at 7.5 million, driven by growth in mobile, postpaid, and fixed line services. However, the sharp depreciation of the dinar by 15% impacted our results in reals. Yusuf Al-Masri, a 20-year veteran of the group, was appointed as CEO to drive Ooredoo's growth plan in Tunisia, with the results of a 4G tender expected in March 2016. Quarter 3 to quarter 4, revenue was impacted significantly, down about 19% in local currency. It's a combination of things which have impacted this, the security situation, the terrorist attack which took place, the economic slowdown, and also promotional offers in the market. The margin declined from 43% to 31%. It's primarily due to the revenue decline. Costs were actually down 7% quarter on quarter. Moving to slide 25, and our youngest market, Myanmar, where we continue to build our customer base, reaching 5.8 million at the end of 2015, and a 22% quarter-on-quarter increase from Q3 to Q4. Our market share increased in the second half of the year, and we added more than 600 sites to cover more than three-quarters of the population by end of 2015, generating the growth we had planned for. Last month, we secured $300 million in long-term financing from Asia Development Bank and International Finance Corporation to expand the network across Myanmar, underlining our commitment to the country and providing the funding to differentiate Ooredoo from its competitors. Quarter 3 to quarter 4 revenue was up 4%. The revenue increase doesn't match the customer increase because the incremental customers are only there for the part of the quarter. In addition to that, there was promotions and usage-based, recharge-based promotions which impacted the yield. Margins from minus 5% in quarter 3 were minus 16% in quarter 4 as a result of rollout of more sites and the timing difference in getting revenue from these sites. I will now hand it back to Andreas to facilitate the Q&A section of our call.
Thank you very much, Ajay. Before we start the Q&A part, I would like to thank everyone who voted for us at the Qatar Stock Exchange IR Excellence Award. We've been a double award winner there, and the IR team is very proud and happy, and thank you for your support. Another item which I would like to bring your attention is that we are planning on hosting our Capital Markets Day in Doha on May 23rd this year. We are still finalizing the planning, but you can already save the date, and we hope to see many of you here in person in Doha, and then we can discuss further details. If you have a special request, what should be on the agenda, we're always very keen to hear back from you with feedback and suggestions. Okay, on that note, Daniel, operator, would you please be so kind to explain how our listeners can ask questions?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We can now take our first question. It comes from Sarah Shabiak of CI Capital. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Three questions, if I may. The first one, is mainly on data and data growth going forward. So I understand that in Qatar and Oman, you've already reached the 50% mark or even more. And I was wondering how you benchmark that compared to the region. Like 50% is quite high. So what are you looking to achieve in Qatar and Oman specifically? And if you can shed a bit more light on the data percentage in the other subsidiaries, Kuwait, Algeria, and Indonesia. How is that compared in percentage terms? My second question is on Iraq and the VAT. The question is basically, are you passing on any part of the VAT onto the customers, or are you taking it on your margin? There was an earnings call for Zain a couple of days back, and they indicated that half of the VAT is passed on to the customer. So I was wondering if you're following the same strategy. And my last question is more of if you can elaborate a bit on the competitive environment in Algeria, and if you can give us any flavor on the day-to-day operational environment in Algeria now, given also the macro backdrop. That's it for me.
Okay, I'll speak about the first question. Thank you, Sarah, for the question anyway. Regarding the data, basically we believe that there are a number of things that it drives the growth in the data. Number one, the most important thing is that the strength in the network and the investment that has been done significantly in those markets that we have crossed 50% on the data revenue. The other things I think also the mindset, because in the past, the people were worried about the apps and what are the effects of the apps on the eating the revenue from the traditional services. We believe as Ooredoo, we have changed our mindset since a very long time, not to think about that as a threat, in fact to think about it as an opportunity where we provide a very high speed bandwidth to allow our customer to use more data, and in fact also to introduce interactive services and entertainment services through our network, like the IPTV and others, which is also resulting in growing the data usage. We also have started a plan of the digital universe, basically digitizing all our interaction with our customers. And Qatar, for example, we have been leading in this. And we can see that most of the interaction between us and our customers has become digitized, and that also drives more data usage. Our view is that we don't depend on traditional telco services. This is dying in all the markets around the world. I mean, in particular, voice and SMS. We have to be, as we said, linear and agile, so that we adapt to the new technologies, and we also take those new apps that's coming as an opportunity to increase our revenue by increasing the data usage from our customers.
Thanks, Walid. I'll take the next question on Iraq. As far as the VAT is concerned, the way we've seen is that the VAT impact on us has been about half of the VAT charges of 20%. So we did pass on the cost to the customers, and the decline in revenue is not about 20%, it's about 7 to 10% impact we've seen on our revenue side, passing the cost to the customers. The competition level in Algeria is quite intense, as Jazzy also is more active in the market now, and that's something we've expected in the past. Ooredoo Algeria has been growing its revenue market share for the past 7 quarters consecutively, which obviously is not sustainable. But as competition intensifies, we do see a slowdown in the growth of the Algerian country.
That's very clear. Just a follow-up on data, and do you expect like the data percentage in Oman and Qatar to reach like 70-80% over the next 3-5 years? Because 50 is already quite a high number, so would that be realistic to forecast something in that range? And also if you can just shed more light on the data percentage in Kuwait and other subsidiaries?
Normally, our focus is that to expand and to build a faster, better network in all our footprint to give to allow our customers to utilize this high bandwidth and to use more data exchange and to use more intense and big files and big, content in the data. We don't basically make any forecast for the data usage, but in all the markets that we are operating in, we can see that the data usage are increasing year on year. Whether it's going to reach 70 or 80, we hope that it happens, but we don't forecast for these things.
And with regards to the national breakdown, we only provide you an average number, which is 37% across the group. Qatar and Oman are at the top there. And the data portion usually increases with the level of technology. Obviously, in a 4G network, you have more data traffic than in a 3G network. So that gives you an indication what the status about the other region.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Alex Kazbegi of Renaissance Capital. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi. I have a question on your dividend decision on reduction of the dividend. If I look at your guidance, that means that your free cash flows for this year, for 2016, are unlikely to be, operating cash flows for this year will be unlikely much worse than they were in 2015. Yet you're looking at about 1 to 2 billion real reduction in the capex. So clearly that leaves quite a lot more money again to be potentially distributed. And I haven't seen it also on your loan profile that there is anything significant coming up over the next 3 years. So I was just wondering what was the rationale behind cutting the dividend. And if I could also extrapolate that and just maybe you can tell us how should we think going forward about your dividend, policy, if you wish. Should we look at the payout? Should we look at some targets which you might be looking at once you will be defining your dividend decisions for the coming years as well? And the second question, you mentioned about going towards closer to the asset light model, if you wish. So was wondering if you have targeted the specific areas in a sense of geographies where you could see potential sale of the assets. What would they be, just the towers or also maybe towers and networks? Is your policy different between the countries where you have fixed and mobile vis-a-vis just the mobile, for instance? So any color you can give us on potential disposals and, cash coming in would be much helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the question, Alex. On the dividend side, like I mentioned earlier, we have looked at the investment profile going forward, as well as the uncertainty in the economic environment right now. As far as the free cash flows are concerned, you will see that for 2015, the free cash flows are down 16% year on year. So although you do see that the EBITDA itself is on a growth trajectory, the capex was slightly higher, and the working capital as well had an impact on the free cash flows. So lower free cash flows in 2015, and uncertain environment going forward. We do have refinancing of almost $2 billion due in the next 15 months' time. So we take all these factors into account when dividend decisions are taken. End of the day, it's a prerogative of the board. The policy we have is a flexible policy. Now, we have not given guidance in terms of either growth policy or payout ratio. However, if you see historically, the payout ratios that we've done will give you a sense of the minimum payout ratio that we look at. At times, we've also given bonus shares as well. But as for this year, I think we've looked at not just the profits, but also the cash flows and the uncertainty of the environment. Hans, you can take the next question.
Yes, thank you. In terms of asset-light strategy, I can't point to any particular asset divestment, but I can say that we are very actively considering asset sharing and infrastructure sharing in a number of markets. And, of course, that will have a consequent effect on capital requirement and capital delivery should we complete those executions. And geography-wise, Indonesia is the largest one in terms of impact.
Right, understood. So it's more sharing rather than outright sale. The retention of a control and sharing of whether frequencies, networks, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Karen Rayed of EFG. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is actually Omar Meher from EFGMS. I'd like to push back on the dividend question again because, again, I'm looking at the numbers and I'm not sure, you know, why the dividend was cut. The earnings are relatively flat, so the payout is significantly down. Free cash flow was not that significantly affected this year. Your cash position is still very high, and according to the financials, you don't have, you know, any restrictions on the 18 billion balance that you have on the balance sheet. And also, you increased your dividends from Ooredoo Kuwait quite substantially this year. So, Ajay, you were mentioning something about I didn't hear it quite well. You mentioned something about some commitments coming up in the coming 15 months. So. If you could clarify this again and explain, you know, why the cut was that aggressive this year. And my second question is actually on margins, because I remember in the third quarter you mentioned that part of the hike in margins in the third quarter was driven by some cost efficiencies. Obviously, part of it was seasonality, but you had some cost efficiencies as well. And I'm a bit surprised that the margin is down that much Q1Q this quarter. And I was wondering whether, you know, these cost efficiencies that you spoke about in the third quarter were sustainable or not, and, you know, whether this is going to recur again going forward. And one last question, if you could, you know, give some color on Myanmar and what's happening there. We see that the profitability is down significantly this quarter, so if you could just shed some color on the market developments there.
Sure. I think on the dividend question, if you look at our slide pack, where we give the debt maturity profile, which is slide number 10, you will see the upcoming maturities of almost $2 billion in the next 15 months. So that is the cash requirements in terms of refinancing debt going forward. And as far as the free cash flow is concerned, it was 16% lower this year. That's on slide number 8, which also is a factor we look at. So a dividend decision is a combination of various factors. I've alluded to two of these in these examples. So we believe, I think the flexibility required for the company to keep investing and making sure that the refinancing risk is also properly addressed is an important factor for us. Having said that, the cost efficiency point that you raised, the quarter on quarter, if you see last year, the margins have improved, but this quarter, two operations have had significant impact on the margin, in fact, three. Let me point out all three to you. Algeria is one where you see a decline in revenue quarter on quarter, even in local currency terms, which has impacted the EBITDA margin. It's not because the costs have gone up. It's more because of the revenue reason. The same is true for Tunisia as well. Then quarter on quarter, the costs were down about 7%, but but because of a bigger decline in revenue, because of competition, because of the economic environment, as well as the security situation, which impacts roaming revenue as well, you see a declining margin there. The last question you had also probably explains the margin question you had. The second question is that in Myanmar, as we're rolling out network and new areas come on board, there's a step-up increase in cost as far as maintaining the sites is concerned. The revenue on these sites comes in due course as those sites are filled up. So there's a timing issue because Myanmar still is in a rollout phase. So these three opcos to a big extent explain the decline in EBITDA margin.
Thank you, Jay. And I, if I may follow up on Myanmar again about the fourth operator, how's the uptake been so far, and how has the reaction been in the market?
On the fourth operator, we don't have much information on that, except that there was a proposal and they were looking at some foreign investors with 49% share. We haven't seen much update on that officially as yet.
No, I don't believe the fourth operating license has been granted yet.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Too early to see any impact.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Tibor Bakur of Akram Capital. Your line is open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, two questions, if I may. I wanted to ask about what proportion of the free cash flow in 2015 was accessible to the group level. I mean, I assume that Iraqi cash flow was not, and that would basically knock out one-third of the free cash flow. That could probably explain also why you had to cut the dividend. And the second question, I am impressed by the guidance of the CapEx cuts for next year, and I just wanted to ask whether we're looking at apples-to-apples comparison with regards to CapEx this year, i.e. any license payments that might be on top of that, or any other adjustment that we need to make into our models. Thank you. And specifically, which countries the CapEx cut comes from? Thank you.
As far as the cash flows are concerned, generally we have access to all the cash in most of the operations, and we upstream cash as dividends from most of the operations. The issue we have is only today in Asiacell, Iraq, which we've talked about in the past. And that is one of the factors, of course, when we look at our dividend decision, how much cash is upstreamed as well at the group level. So you've got your own numbers of Asiacell in terms of cash flow generated from there. But what we look at is not just the free cash flow at the OPCO level, but what percentage of that is upstreamed as dividends. As far as the CapEx cut is concerned, it's in line with what we mentioned in some of the previous years. We talked about a peak of CapEx spend as we were modernizing networks across our footprint, where we are moving from old technology to single RAN technology. That primarily is behind us now in most of the markets now. And as a result, you see a more business as usual CapEx linked to expansion. And in some areas and in some opcos where new technology rollouts will happen, for example, like 4G in Algeria and Tunisia, it might have some higher CapEx. But generally, with the modernization behind us, the declining trend was part of our expectation.
So let's say you sell towers in Kuwait, for example, and that would lower the CapEx. Is that already in your guidance? Such a scenario?
We haven't given guidance for Kuwait specifically. We normally give guidance at a group total level. But I think the overall logic which you talked about applies generally to the opcos.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Delia Ibrahimova of Citibank. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity. I had three questions, please, if I may. First, on the dividends decision, sorry to come back to this, but I was just wondering whether we should take your decision and your comments in, on macro and the upcoming refinancing as a signal on what's happening on the credit market. Are you seeing tightening there? Is it do you need to preserve some cash because you're seeing increasing in yields, or yeah, just if you could comment on what are you seeing on the credit side, please. Second question relates to fixed line revenue, excluding internet triple play and other in Qatar. Yeah, there has been strong growth in the third quarter and this year overall, and I was just wondering, sorry, not the third quarter, but this quarter. I was just wondering what the drivers are. Has there been some price increase, or is it some other perhaps auxiliary revenue that is being included, for example, data centers. And my third question, please, is on the regulatory environment in Qatar. What we have seen is that, for example, that in 2014, the regulatory authority has been set up. In 2015, they have made a few decisions that have been or what it appears may have been to introduce a bit more competition or to cut prices. For example, MTR cut from October, the decisions the order to you to open access to ducts, both to Vodafone and to QNB, and also CRA appears to be appears to be proposing to become sort of anti-monopoly body for the telecom sector. I was just wondering what's your view on the regulatory environment, and what is your strategy? Shall we take the recent action seriously? Is there going to be more competition? Yeah, any comments from your side, and maybe strategy against TRA or against or with TRA would be appreciated.
Let me take the dividend question, especially the view on the markets. Normally, we rely on a lot of investment banks like yourselves to get a view of the markets. So we are being conservative here, and that's what I'd like to put across. There is uncertainty in the market, whether it is related to what will happen in the credit spreads going forward. We've seen market moves which cause that uncertainty. We see increased risk there. And also, we've also seen the overall economic environment. And again, I think you may have your own in-house view as Citibank, but the impact on the oil prices and how that's impacting the economy, it just gives an indication of being a little prudent, especially taking into account some of the investment plans we have going forward, as well as refinancings on the horizon, which are generally covered by the cash in hand. But it in some situations like this, prudence is the preferred option in our opinion. As far as the revenue of Qatar is concerned, I did say it went up 6% because of mega projects and devices. Maybe, Walid, you want to take up the next question.
We believe that Qatar will continue to grow, even though the economic situation, because the very strong plan from the government and also the continuous investment in the infrastructure, namely the transportation, the build-up of the stadiums for the World Cup 2022, and other other investment that is happening, like for example the large real estate companies building their green fields and continuing, investment on the green fields. All these things give us some sort of confidence that Qatar will continue to grow. But also, Ooredoo is planning to enter some of other areas that I cannot declare at the moment. In the coming few days, you will see announcements from Ooredoo that's going to play a bigger role in Qatar, and maybe is going to take that role also to the region. And because of all that, we believe that Qatar is going to lead, and Qatar is always going to grow in its revenue. As for the regulator issue, we have a fantastic relation with the Ministry of Transportation and Telecom and with the regulator. We have been meeting regularly. We do not believe that there is a need for the third entrant because of the high penetration and the very advanced network that Qatar has built, both companies that Qatar has built. Qatar sits now amongst the highest, the best countries in the world in terms of connectivity. Qatar is Ooredoo through its project of Phase 3 fiber to the home. It's going to put Qatar as a number one fiber penetrated country in the world by hopefully by end of this year. And that's why we believe that there is no need for, more competition. However, whether resellers are going to be introduced, that has been said last year by the regulator. We don't see any signs as of yet. But maybe the ratio that has been recently set by the regulator, maybe it is, to introduce resellers. But in any case, resellers either is going to be on our network or on the competition network, but at the same time will lead to grow our revenue and to grow our market share. So we are not worried about that. The infrastructure, access infrastructure, basically we believe that even if the RIO is in a place, but RIO is going to lead in terms of penetrating the country with fiber. We do not believe that neither QNBN or Vodafone Qatar are going to spend heavily in this area because of the well-established network built by Ooredoo.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Waleed Belaha of Barclays. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have a couple of questions on the operational side and a couple of questions on the financial side. So on the operational side, I was just wondering if you have any update on the third operator in Oman and what the impact do you expect on your business. And secondly, on Tunisia, it keeps on deteriorating. I was just thinking whether you had any plans for some sort of turnaround in this market. On the financial side, could you please confirm what the amount of cash you're holding, you're having at the holding level at where we do a QAC, and what's the plan for the repayments of the upcoming maturities in October, whether you think of coming back to the bond market or repaying it from the cash that you have already available. And finally, I was wondering what if you had any estimation for the cost of the 4G license in Algeria.
The Oman third license, I think, has been talked about in the past. It's already in our plans that if that happens in a long-term plan, we do consider that. But there's still no clarity. We don't expect that to happen in 2016. But if it happens, it might happen sometime in 2017. Han, do you want to add something to that?
No, everything else.
Great. Tunisia, of course, the performance, like I said, is a combination of a couple of things in quarter four. Part of that is the security situation there and the impact that has on the tourism and the economy in the country. There were curfews in the country during quarter four, which has impacted the potential for people to spend money. So that's one thing which is outside the control, which is impacting all the operators. As far as turnaround of the Tunisian operation itself is concerned, that's on track in terms of the strategy in place. We have a new CEO there, as I referred to earlier. And the part of the turnaround will have an adjustment period, like you've seen in some of the other markets, like Kuwait, for example. And but that's on track. The plans are there in place. They'll play out in due course in the coming quarters. As far as the cash holding at a group level is concerned, I don't think we have actually conveyed that information separately in the past. But you do have access to The large portion of the cash sits at the group level, I would say like that, because the other operations report their results independently if you're looking at Kuwait, Group, and Indosat, for example. So you can get a sense of what cash would be sitting at group level from there. As far as the repayments are concerned, we are looking at various options like we usually do when we look at refinancing options for our maturing debt, which includes the bank market, the bond market, and also the possibility to repay. So all options on the table as we speak. As things develop, of course, you'll hear more about it if you access the market. Now, the cost of the 4G license for Algeria is not in public domain.
It's,
as far
still,
as
it's still a live bid, so I don't think, I think in due course we'll be able to give you some more detail on that, but not at this moment.
Okay, and if I understand well, this is not in the guidance of the company in terms of spending. It's on top of the guidance.
The CapEx guidance that we've given doesn't include licenses. These are tangible CapEx here. So the, okay. The license fee is normally over and above that.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Kasper Erskine of New Street Research. Line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of quick questions to go through. So in your guidance, I noticed that you seem to be targeting an EBITDA contraction in 2016. I was just wondering if you could give us some color as to where this is going to come from. Also, the underperformance against Telenor in Myanmar in terms of EBITDA margin. Do you have any time frame that you can give us on when you see this turning round? My other question, well, I've actually got two more. One relates to Tunisia. I was just wondering if you could give us any guidance to what percentage of your revenues are actually coming from roaming and how the macro situation is currently impacting this. And finally, in Indonesia, with the sharing at Excel, the sort of network sharing going forward, have you any guidance that you can give us on what CapEx and OpEx savings you anticipate going into 2016 and 2017? Thank you.
Okay, let me take a couple of them. Maybe Hans can join in some of the evenings. The first one, as far as the EBITDA guidance is concerned, we do see positive trends in most of our operations, as you've seen in quarter four. There are a few exceptions where revenue pressures were there. The forecast takes into account also potential depreciation in foreign currencies of certain operating companies. So that has some implication on the absolute amount of EBITDA that would come at a group level. And operations like Myanmar are still expected not to be completely EBITDA positive. So compared year on year, it may not still have a very positive impact. So that's as far as the EBITDA margin forecast is concerned. So primarily it is the FX assumption which can impact the absolute amount of EBITDA going forward. Yeah. For the Myanmar and Telenor, I think we've discussed this in the past as well. We followed different strategies here. And maybe Andrew will pick up the strategic decision here.
Yes. Well, I mean, as we've discussed, I think, on the previous call, we have very much a high-quality data strategy focusing on 3G, which drives us to higher ARPU customers using data. It also pushes us towards handsets, which are 3G compliant. We are continuing that strategy. We think it's the right strategy long term, and we think in due course you'll see the closing of that gap. But I don't think I can give you a timetable on the call now.
Tunisia question, you had the question on the percentage of roaming. I think to get a sense of this, the roaming has been impacted in the last couple of years in any case. What you see is now is a much lower level of roaming in last 2 years. So the quarter four itself has some impact because of the recent terrorist activity, but it was already at a lower level of roaming. We haven't given the percentage of that in the past, but you can get a sense that it is on a declining path. Indosat network share may be again hands.
Yes, well, we're in the middle of considering that project at the moment and considering the detail of it. I think it's a bit early to give guidance on potential CapEx and OpEx savings, but it's something we're working on quite diligently at the present.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question. It comes from Akran Tokore of Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Archan. I just wanted some more details on the Algerian operations. Like, why is there so much pressure, and is there any price cuts or promotions? Like, and where do you see the competition in voice or data?
I think Ajay has said about the situation in Algeria. It's a very tense and very fierce competition, and there is a price war between all the three operators. But at the same time, this is not the main this one. I think the economy slowdown and trends has impacted the Algerian operation. Going forward, I think with the 4G launch and also under penetration and the 3G, I think there are lots of potential in Algeria.
Right, thank you.
As a reminder at this time, it's star 1 from your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question today. We can now take our next question. It comes from Omar Farouki of Gold Investment House. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. My first question relates to the Iraqi operations. The revenue in 2015 declined by 22% and EBITDA declined by 27%. So how do you see the situation in Iraq evolving in 2016? Do you think it will bottom out, or can we expect further declines in both revenue and EBITDA? And at the same time, can you put some light on the 3G take-up in Iraq? And, I mean, how is the data revenue growing over there? And my second question relates to Ooredoo Kuwait. I mean, there was a significant hike in dividend payouts. So can you explain the rationale behind that? Thank you.
As far as Iraq is concerned, the impact in 2016 was a combination of three things. The current impact of three things. Some of these will still play out in 2016 going forward. One was the security situation, shutdown of network in some areas where we were impacted. Second one, this will continue in 2016 as well, because although we talked about some places coming back on air, the customers are still not there. People are not coming back to those areas at the same pace at which they left. So that will be there'll be a timing difference even if areas do come up. The second point, as far as the impact is concerned, was the VAT.
No, I'm talking the about 3G take up, or the data services.
We talked about 2016 revenue forecast, whether the decline will continue or not. So yeah. The decline as far as shutdown will continue. As far as it's concerned for VAT, the VAT impact was only from August onwards. So that will come on a full year basis now of 2016. The economic situation has worsened in the last quarter in the country as a result of the oil price pressures. So if you take all these into account, although the competition has alleviated a little bit in the second half of the year, the other factors will still show some impact compared to last year. So big picture basically, we do see the impact of that. The positive side, of course, is the data side, where the data growth is still very healthy there. Penetrations are still low there. But that is nowhere near to offset the steep declines we're seeing because of the other reasons there. Second question was on
The dividend payout from Kuwait. Kuwait had, on a standalone basis, certain repayments of shareholder loans. We talked about these loan repayments, dollar-denominated in Algeria. A part of these loans were shareholder loans. There was cash upstreaming done from, say, subsidiaries, also, apart from the dividend upstreaming done. So as a result of that, they were in a sufficiently good cash position to pay that dividend.
Okay. Just to follow up on the Iraqi question, I mean, what you said regarding the factors which will remain in 2016, so is it safe to assume that we can see further decline, like on both the revenue side and the EBITDA side?
I think the VAT only started in August, so the impact of that, if you look, say, quarter one of last year, the quarter one of this year will have VAT impact. Last year it did not have. The shutdown impact is in both the periods. The oil impact will come more in this quarter, but was not there so much in previous quarter. So these are three things are supposed to play out.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question. It comes from Waleed Balala of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, just quick follow-up questions on Myanmar. I see the RPU declined significantly over the last quarter, the Q4. Was there any specific reason for that? I'm sorry if this has been commented on before.
No, Waleed, we didn't comment on that. That's a fair question. If you see the number of customer increase is quite significant in the quarter, 22% increase in customers, increase to 5.8 million. Some of these customers are there for part of the period, so normally that could have an impact on the average number that we show you. Having said that, there have been price promotions also done as part of our customer acquisition strategy. It's a combination of these two factors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no more questions today at this time, I'd now like to hand the call back to the speakers for any additional or concluding remarks. Thank you.
Great. And thank you all for joining today's call. Please refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for any additional updates. Follow us on Twitter at OoredooIR, or feel free to contact the Investor Relations team at any time. We look forward to your future participation. The next dates are our AGM on the 27th of this month, the Q1 call probably on the 27th of April, and our Capital Markets Day on the 23rd of May. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.